Out Today podcast. I'm your host, Ben Lucian. We've got a show of cosmic significance today. As you've hopefully heard by now, the sun and moon are set to tango during the April 8th solar eclipse, now just weeks away. Our state, particularly in the southeast quadrant, is going to have a spectacular view. If you haven't heard enough about it already, well, no worries, because Oklahoma Today has got you covered. Our March-April issue out now really tells you everything you need to know about what an eclipse is, how to view it, and what else you can see if you head out there to see it in totality. We'll talk more about the eclipse here in a minute, but first, how about a word from our sponsor? You are called to be bold. You have a right to the best wireless service, high-speed internet, and customer service at a price that you can feel good about. At Provida Wireless, we know this. That's why we put you and your community first. Provida Wireless, the power of connection. So speaking of stars our listeners at home can't see, I think now is a good time to bring in the rest of the Oklahoma Today crew, right? Because we're all stars here. Another whiff, huh? A total solar eclipse is a naturally occurring spectacle you'll be lucky to get a chance to see in your lifetime. So for this question of the week, we want to know what other natural wonders you've either seen or hope to see over the course of your life. So Nathan, what direction did you take this question?
Well, I already met you, so that's a natural wonder.
That is true. Not the first time I've heard that.
When I've seen the Cliffs of Moher in Ireland, that like beautiful Irish cliff view that you always see. That's a gorgeous thing that I got to witness firsthand, so that was cool. Hope to see would be Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights. That's top of my bucket list, is seeing the Northern Lights. So that's somebody hook me up.
I would love to see that. That would just blow my mind.
I know, right? Uh-huh. I'm just dying. I want to see it so bad.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, once a year, they'll be like, oh, you might be able to see it, and you never are.
Well, what a marvel. Like, a naturally occurring electric light show.
I know,
that's just
right?
crazy.
Yeah. Yes. I know. It's stretching all the way up to the top of the sky. I just think, oh, I want to see it.
Senior editor Carly Ibarra, what is the wonder that you're wondering about?
I have seen so many wonders. It was hard to pick one, but I think my favorite was probably the bats leaving the cave. Ooh. At the Solomon Bat Watch.
Yeah. That was cool.
Because it was like, I've never been able to feel bats before. Like, there were so many of them flying overhead that you could actually feel like a little breeze coming off of them. And it was like a totally surreal experience. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I hope that one day it will be open to the public again so that other people can experience this.
And so we can write that story we had planned.
Yes.
That we didn't do.
Uh-huh. Well, why wasn't it open to the public?
So the wildlife department, the person who had been in charge of it for years and years retired. And the person who was the coordinator at Alabaster Cavern State Park also retired at the same time.
Okay.
So the wildlife department just decided to kind of retool the program a little bit. And then they're planning to bring it back eventually. It's just right now they need to find somebody to put in charge of that program.
Okay.
So
yes,
we will keep you updated, listeners.
Yeah, it will be back.
It's a cool deal.
I'm sure it'll be back.
Yeah.
It'd be a good podcast episode.
I've done it for my birthday twice. That's how good it is. Yeah,
it's really fun.
That is fun. Photo editor Megan Rossman, I know you've got a wonder to share with us.
I would like to also see the Northern Lights. I did briefly see them a very long time ago in Washington State, and it was one of the most incredible things.
You can see them in Washington?
Well, no, not normally. There was some kind of freak solar flare, and so I happened to be looking at the sky, and there were like all these green waves going through it, and I was like, oh, that's incredible. And other people saw it too, so I know it was real.
Yeah. No, that would be amazing. But you want to see the full...
Yeah, I want to...
You've gotten the taste now.
I want to see, like, the Iceland or Alaska.
Yeah, totally.
It's Iceland that you can go and stay in, like, igloos, I think. And,
I don't want to stay in an igloo. But
well, I mean, it's, like, warm. It's,
Well, I might consider it.
It's a nice igloo.
I might just go to Iceland and stay in a hotel.
I just want to see the Northern Lights somewhere.
Yeah. I can't believe you guys would go to Iceland and not stay in an igloo. That's crazy.
If Bjork would let me stay in her igloo, that I know she has.
I might for a night. I don't know. It depends on the bathroom situation.
Oh, boy.
Thank you. That's where my mind went, too.
I'm pretty picky about having plumbing.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
same.
The readers don't need to know our the bathroom talks.
They're wondering about it, too, though. They were wondering about it, too. At least someone.
Yeah, it's an important thing to wonder about.
Yeah.
Yeah, if my accommodation doesn't have a bathroom, I'm not into it.
Especially a private one.
Yeah.
Kirsten, what are some of your wonders that you've seen, other than, I guess, the peacocks of Anadarko?
Oh, that was fun.
So I, three, would also like to see the Aurora Borealis, but since it's already been said twice, I want to see the Great Barrier Reef.
Good answer.
It's so pretty, and it's so full of life, and I know it's dying, but I would like to see it anyway.
Good answer. That's a really good
better
answer.
Better see it before it dies.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
We can still save it, I think. It's okay.
I think so, but...
There's still time.
Yeah, that's a good answer. That's a really good answer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all the more reason to see it.
Ben, what is your natural wonder that you want to see?
So, I actually went with Niagara Falls.
Oh. Yeah.
Because in grad school, I did this project about Buffalo, New York. So, it was a really in-depth project about, like, the finances of Buffalo, New York. And since then, I've really wanted to see Buffalo, New York. So, Niagara Falls on the list there.
All right. Well, good answer.
And I was not the only one to answer that, because that was a popular online answer.
Yeah, what did people say online?
Yeah. We had a lot of good answers.
Okay.
Connie Estes said, would love to see the Grand Canyon before I get too old to walk around and explore.
Okay.
Yes, the Grand Canyon. I have driven by the Grand Canyon. We didn't stop, tragically.
Really?
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
You know what
Where were you going to? Or
we went to...
Going to Vegas, one of those childhood trips to Vegas.
It was a famous lake in California.
Lake Tahoe?
No.
Havasu. Okay.
Lake Havasu.
Yeah.
We were driving to Lake Havasu, and we went. It goes by the Grand Canyon, but we did not stop.
Your family was like, "Nope."
Wow.
I was with my friend. It was his family trip. Yeah. Oh,
okay. Wow. That's terrible.
Yes.
One of the things I almost said was the meteor crater in Arizona, which we got to go to when I was a kid. We went to that in the Grand Canyon.
That would be so cool.
The same day, and then that night we stayed in Las Vegas, and I was 10. It was my 10th birthday.
I would love to see that.
But it's very cool. I tell everybody, like, if you're going to the Grand Canyon anyway, go to the meteor crater because it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, our friend Jerry Bennett, he agrees with the Grand Canyon.
Yep.
But he says, in Oklahoma, I would want to visit Little Sahara.
Oh, you should visit Little Sahara, Jerry. That place is awesome.
Yes, definitely. Michelle Cheney, she agrees with me. She says, I want to see Niagara Falls one day. Specifically in Oklahoma, I would love to go to Glass Mountain. Well, me and Michelle Cheney, we're just on the same wavelength.
Michelle, I think you should go to Glass Mountain.
Yeah. And can I just say to the readers who gave a place outside of Oklahoma and a place inside of Oklahoma, you are a superstar.
That's right. You are a social media hero.
We know they're true fans because they're thinking like we want them to, like we program them to. Shelly Decker said the Alabaster Caverns.
Oh, yeah.
I really need to go back. I haven't been since I was a kid.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, I love taking the cavern tour. It's so fun.
Yeah. So cool that you can just go in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like caves should be off limits.
The largest gypsum cave in the world open to the public, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Not the largest one in the world, but it's the largest one that's open to the public.
I think that's right.
Yeah. One of the largest, anyway, if not the largest.
Jolene Flowers said the Halley-Bopp Comet, which I'm not sure if she meant Halley's Comet or the famous Hale-Bopp Comet.
Probably Hale-Bopp from 1997. Yeah.
Yes, which was a spectacle, even though I don't think I saw it. I didn't see it.
Seriously, it went on for months. It was gigantic in the sky.
We could have a discussion about what my age was then, but...
Well, you would have been like six, seven years old.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, I don't have any memory of that.
I remember that so well.
Yeah, I remember. It was just like a smudge in the sky every night.
Carly, did you see it?
I remember people talking about it, but I don't remember if I saw it. I'm sure I went outside and saw it. I probably did see it.
My parents were like, look at that. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It was like a comet of a lifetime. I mean, it took up a huge portion of the sky. Yes. It was very big. Yeah.
I'm not a Halley's Comet expert. Has anyone seen Halley's Comet? So is that something we would
Halley's
have seen?
Halley's Comet came when I was about 5 years old. I think it came in 85, 86, that winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it because every adult in my life was like, the next time you see this, I'll be dead. all of them said that to me at 5 years old. Because, I mean, you know.
What a pep talk.
We're a dark bunch of people, my family. But I remember that it was too cloudy.
Mm-hmm.
It was the middle of winter, and you couldn't, in Oklahoma at least, like the whole time it was visible, apparently, like there was just no seeing it because it was just cloudy and overcast the whole time, which is a bummer. So I had to wait until I'm 80.
Well, it's something to wait for.
I think it is coming back in like 2060.
Yes.
Or 20, yeah, I think 2060, whatever.
Well,
whatever
we'll have the Oklahoma Today Halley's Comet issue on that.
I'm not going to edit it. Okay, y'all have fun.
Just add that to the 80-year run sheet, all right? And then finally, Jake Stepp. I didn't know about this one because I'm a landlocked boy. The Mavericks is one of a handful of waves that can grow wave faces 50 feet plus. It's located in Half Moon Bay, California. He says, I was out on the water for a few different big wave surf sessions. I was born at Tinker Air Force Base, so I was definitely the only Okie in the lineup.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds terrifying.
Watching like serious surfing is like terrifies me.
Yeah, no, they're amazing. Surfers are amazing. Yeah, but no, thank you.
Yeah, I've only seen like beach-sized waves. You know, visiting the ocean a few times. So seeing those like skyscraper ones, that would be crazy.
I know when we were in Hawaii, we were at Kauai, and there were several beaches that we went to that there was like a sign that was like, these waves are dangerous. You will die. Do not get in this water. And they're like, because people, they're like huge, gigantic rocking waves, and they look like they'd be fun to surf, but it's like, no, you.
But they would kill you.
You'll be dragged into the Pacific Ocean, and no one will ever see you again. Yeah,
right.
But the ocean is terrifying.
It is. It is terrifying.
I'm so scared of it.
That's why I'm a big Oklahoma fan. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I can go to the ocean, but it's not a danger.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
we don't have a guest. We are the guest.
We are the guest.
Yeah.
This time
we're the guests,
and we're hoping to learn a little bit more about the eclipse. And Nate, I know you wrote our eclipse preview.
Well, I have to say the best line in it actually belongs to Carly.
What's the behind the scenes there?
We're talking about the folklore, and I found this little tidbit that said, in Transylvania, eclipses were said to happen because the sun got angry and covered itself in darkness in response to the bad behavior of men. And I told that to Carly, and she goes, how is the sun ever out at all then? And so
Carly would say that.
Because it was just such a good line.
Yes.
I know.
The resident Missandris.
I should have shared the byline.
A lot of the zingers in the magazine can be attributed to Carly.
So many of the zingers are to Carly. I know. Pretty all the best ones, especially.
So there's solar and lunar eclipses. Yeah. Which one is what we're going to see?
We're going to see a solar eclipse.
Okay.
In other words, the sun is going to be blocked out.
Okay.
Like the moon, when there's a lunar eclipse, those happen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You could see those fairly often, but
it's like the moon like turns like red, right?
Yeah, it's
from
creepy. If you've never seen one, go, you know, next time one happens, go look, because it is creepy.
Uh-huh.
It like feels like the world's ending, but it's not. It's just the moon turns kind of red,
right?
And then it doesn't,
right,
anymore. And everything goes back to normal. But
the solar eclipse is the big one.
Yeah, it's creepy. Brian and I went in 2017. We drove to Nebraska to see totality of the last one that came through North America. Mm-hmm. And it was the whole way up there, I was like, please don't let this be a waste of 16 hours of driving. Like, we camped at a state park in Nebraska because there was nowhere to stay.
What year was that last one?
2017. 2017.
Oh, 17.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And it was amazing. It was completely worth the trip. We had such a good time. And it was, I don't know, there's not only a way to describe it. It's just the light is so spooky.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It feels like the world is ending, but it legitimately feels like the world is ending.
Right.
It legitimately feels like the sun is going out.
Well, one of my favorite things about the preview that we had is just had you touch on how before we had the internet and the knowledge we have now, how like ancient people saw the eclipse.
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, there's had to be so just much. Mind-blowing. Yeah, I love this one. The Ojibwe people of southern Canada, also known as Chippewa, would fire flaming arrows at the sky, hoping to rekindle the sun, which is awesome because it worked.
Right.
Yeah, to them, it looked like it worked. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. I love that. Let's see. Norse mythology said that an eclipse was happened because Loki created wolf-like giants to swallow the sun.
Impressive.
Yeah, and in Colombia, the indigenous people of Colombia were said to shout at the heavens during an eclipse, promising to mend their ways and work harder.
That's what I would be doing.
Do you think they did, or after the sun came out there, they're like, oh, never mind. Back to drinking.
I think that's
I assume everything's my fault, so of course that's where my mind would go.
It's all about Ben. I think that that's how all repentance ultimately works.
Oh, good. The scary thing is over. Yeah. Go back to being bad.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think that, and I think that idea appears in every major world religion that that's how repentance tends to work out. It's cool. Like, one of the things that I love about this, genuinely, it's amazing, and I talked about this in the story, is that, you know, I don't know if you ever read anything about, like, you know, the search for life in the universe, or, you know, that kind of, like, the science about it and all that stuff. But it's just increased, like, it's just unbelievably unlikely that there's life in the universe in a way that we can, intelligent life in the universe in a way that we can reach it, right? There might be life throughout our solar system. But all that is to say, just the idea that anyone would be around anywhere else in the universe at the same time as us to see an eclipse of their own sun, right? But then our sun is... Our moon is 400 times smaller than our sun, and our sun is 400 times further away. And so it just, this weird coincidence where they line up. So I like this thing where, like, if we were to go into the universe, into space, and, like, meet dozens and dozens, if it became Star Trek all of a sudden, we would still be, like, the coolest planet. Because there's no way this happens.
No.
Right? Like, it's amazing. Like, we got to be, like, the only planet in the universe where this happens.
Talk about Goldilocks.
No, I'm not kidding. Like, it's unbelievably unlikely. And because of the way gravity works, the moon is actually moving away from us very slowly. So eventually that won't even be the case here.
Right.
So, I mean, like, you got, like, 600 million years of solar eclipses.
Yeah,
so chill.
Enjoy,
but, like,
it now. Yeah. 600 million years from now.
So that was kind of my favorite fact in the whole thing. It was just that, like... Just in the universe, it's unlikely that we would have a place to live where this would be something we could see.
Right.
You know?
So most places in the state, you'll have at least, like, a decent partial view. But where can you go to see, like, the totality of it?
It's the bottom. It's the southeast corner. So, like, Beaver's Bend, Antlers, Hugo, Poteau. Like, draw a line from Poteau down to almost Durant. And then anything southeast of that line is going to be 100%. So Lake Worcester State Park, Talamina State Park, Beavers Bend State Park, Raymond Gary and Clayton Lake Parks, and then a whole bunch of other towns, Idabel, Broken Bow, Hochatown, Antlers, Talahina, and Poteau. Like, there's just a lot of towns that are going to have that 100% view.
And it's didn't you rent a vehicle, like, for the travel department?
I know where we're going. I don't. we might just go to Beaver's Bend. I don't know. That's where everybody else from work is going, so maybe we'll just go there. I don't know.
I'm going to Idabel.
Are you going to Idabel? That's cool. Kenny Seivert in Idabel offered to let me come watch the thing at his business, so maybe I'll just go there. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out. There's not much of a plan around here about what
I mean, luckily, there's fairly substantial portion of the state, so you have a lot of options.
Yes.
Yeah, because I'm such an overthinker, I'm already like, what route will we take, and how will we get there, and will we leave, and which route will we take, and what will be the least trafficky, and, like, I'm just trying to predict the future, and I can't do it.
Yeah.
So,
I've tried a lot, and I still can't do it.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know, I'm stuck in my head about it, but I'll get it figured out.
So, when you are viewing the eclipse, do you want to just look up with your bare eyes? Is that something you want to do?
No, that's a really bad idea.
Yeah. Why is it a bad idea?
Because you're not supposed to look at the sun. That's what was funny to me. Like, I had, when I started this story, I was like, I'm going to, like, call an eye doctor. And I'm gonna, why is it so bad to look at an eclipse and everything?
That would be a short interview.
I was like, let me just Google this really quick, because it's a good idea. If you don't know if a question is stupid, you might Google it. So you don't ask it to a person first. And it turns out it's a stupid question. The answer is, it's bad to look at the sun. Don't look at the sun ever. Period. Ever. Now, when the eclipse is total, you can take your viewer off briefly and look directly at it when it's total. But even then, if there's like little pieces of light coming through around it, like that can hurt your eyes. So really, really, you got to be careful.
Well, if you don't have what you need to view the eclipse,
this is a good interview. I don't usually get interviewed, so this is fun for me.
Yeah. If you can just visit OklahomaToday.com.
OklahomaToday.com, right? Eclipse.OklahomaToday.com is the website.
And you there's a banner on our front page.
Yes. You can just go to OklahomaToday.com and click the banner, and you can get your own glasses.
Tristan's holding the insert.
I will say this episode is airing on March 18th, and you have until March 22nd to order those to make sure that you get them in time. So if you're hearing this after March 22nd,
act immediately.
You're too late. And if you're hearing it anytime before March 22nd, hurry up. But it's been really successful. People have been really ordering them. Like, we've done really well off of it. So,
And it looked really cool.
Yeah, they do. But yeah, you can look at it briefly. Important to say too, like, regular sunglasses are not. You can't use regular sunglasses. Like, these viewers are a specific type of material. They have an ISO certification that you want to look for. It's ISO 12312-2. And they're thousands of times darker than the darkest sunglasses. So, like, it's really important. You know, I think people are like, oh, I'm putting my sunglasses. But don't do that, please. Because you could hurt your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one of the great things about how the totality is coming through Oklahoma is that, well, if you're trying to get an overnight stay in southeastern Oklahoma right now, you're not going to have any luck. But
I did actually hear, now this is where this is 6 days before this airs that we're talking about this. So, you know, I'm sorry if time has proven me wrong. But the last I heard, which was yesterday, there are some camping spots left at some of the state parks down there. There are some camping spots left. So if you're willing to go camp overnight, you can still get lodging down there.
Right.
And it's probably worth, I mean, people are probably going to cancel last minute and all kind of stuff. So it's worth keep continuing to look. But yeah, most likely you're not going to find something.
Well, but
you're definitely not going to find anything cheap.
The cool thing is that for most places in the state, it's a very day trippable thing.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I mean, I know you'll be driving down there that day and back. So,
yeah.
That's a possibility for a lot of people.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we have an invitation from Garrett Smith at Reba's to come by and have food afterwards.
Well, that'll
on
be
our
fun.
Way back up. Yeah. So.
Well, speaking of cool things in southeastern Oklahoma, we did have a southeastern Oklahoma scavenger hunt.
We did.
In the March, April.
It looked so good. Y'all did such a good job on this.
So these are all sorts of places that you can go check out if you're going to go see totality or if you just want to visit southeastern Oklahoma.
I still hear from a lot of people that are like, oh, I still haven't been down there. I know I need to get down there. And I'm like, go. It's so awesome.
I mean, I know the Hochatown area has been blown
fantastic,
up for years.
Yeah. What are some of you guys' favorite? Like, you're headed to Southeast. Like, if you just were like, here, 3 days off, you have to go Southeast. Like, what are some of your favorite places or favorite places that you found when you wrote the story?
Yeah, I'm hoping to go back to the Museum of the Red River in Idabel because they have a Acrocanthosaurus skeleton, which is always cool. But then also they have a really cute gift shop, and I like seeing what's new in there. So that would be fun. And I think the two people who are going with me, I don't think they've ever been before.
Oh, great. Okay. Are they having, I bet they'll have a good eclipse party.
I think so.
Being a museum with science. And things in it. Yeah, that's a good one. I love that museum a lot in Idabel. It's a really, really nice place, and it's so surprising. Like, I mean, Idabel's a great town. Like, you wouldn't, it's not that it's surprising. It's just like you don't see a lot of dinosaur skeleton level museums in towns the size of Idabel. It's very cool.
Yeah, and there's like, that's not the only great thing in there, obviously.
Oh, yeah,
but
no.
That's the thing that I always look forward to seeing.
I like that.
Right.
Do you know, I still haven't been to the Mount Olivet Cemetery in Hugo.
Oh, that's cool.
I know.
That's
I still
really
haven't
fun.
Been. I need to go.
Well, I would love to see that too.
Yeah, the circus cemetery.
It seems weird to be taking pictures of gravestones, but they're so cool.
Yeah.
You just kind of have to.
Yeah.
Well, Hugo is, I mean, you can see the elephants.
Oh, the elephants. Mm-hmm. We love the elephants of Hugo, the Endangered Ark Foundation. Yeah, if you're looking for a really cool overnight stay, I recommended that to someone recently. Who was it? Someone was asking me about, like, kids. Like, we're going to take the kids. Where should we go? And I said, you should go stay at Endangered Ark. That'd be so fun.
It will be an experience I'll remember forever.
Right.
Yeah.
I wrote about the Choctaw Nation Capitol Museum
in
Tuscaloosa. I haven't been there personally, but I really want to go just because the building looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it, I mean, just the history tied to it as as the former capital of the Choctaw Nation.
Yeah.
Like, that's so cool to me.
Absolutely. I've heard great things about that. I also want to go to the Wildlife Heritage Center Museum in Antlers. With just
been.
A giant taxidermy collection. I think I have. I think my cousin's gar is in there, so I want to go see it.
Yeah,
cousin Darren's gar is in that museum. I think.
Yeah.
I was told it was given to quote the museum.
Oh, not your cousin named Gar.
No. My cousin.
Gar that was caught.
My cousin for a brief time. My cousin Darren, who, God rest his soul, had the state record for alligator gar. Caught by a bow, or maybe just a state record for alligator gar. Anyway, it was stuffed in my uncle's office in Antlers forever, and now it's in the museum, apparently. So I need to go visit it and say hi.
Yes. One of the things I wrote about that really interested me, and I could only write just a little tiny paragraph to fit inside the issue, but the 86 crash monument.
I didn't know about this until you wrote
about it. On the face of Big Mountain. Yeah, so what the deal is that... So during World War II, English pilots couldn't train in their own country because it was a war zone. The skies were full of, aircraft that would shoot them down. So the airmen trainees came to the United States to train for the Royal Air Force.
Huh.
Yeah, and a few of their bases were in Oklahoma. So that there were English airmen training in Oklahoma and like northern Texas. And what the 86 crash monument is that there was a foggy night or day that they had some kind of training mission, and there was actually one of the 86 planes that they drove crashed into the side of the Kiamichi Mountains. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
So on Big Mountain, which is I guess a little north of Moyers, Oklahoma.
Okay.
You can find a monument on the crash site.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So I would have never guessed that there were English airmen training in the U.S., but I guess it makes sense.
Imagine just hiking around up there and just coming across this.
Yeah, like, right.
What?
Having your mind
That's
blown.
Craziness,
yes.
Yeah. Megan, one of my favorite places that you and I have been together is in here, Warehouse Willie's.
Oh, yeah.
Those are some good flippin' steaks in Poto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was the first steak I ever had that I didn't put A1 on.
Really?
Because it tasted good enough on its own.
you were deprived as a child.
Yes.
I don't think my mom has still ever had a steak without A1. So
I do love A1.
You know,
I hate it when people make fun of it. It's like, just let us have our sauce, man.
You know, to each their own. Absolutely to each their own. Also, I want to eat some of these rolls at Howard's Cafe.
Oh, those look good.
In Rattan.
Yes.
Don't they look
such
so
a great
good?
Photo.
Yeah.
That you can't see, but you should hopefully have the issue at home.
I'm also happy that there was a ziplining photo from Beaver's Bend that didn't have me in it. That photo of me ziplining at Beaver's Bend has been in way too many ads for this agency, and I would like it to retire.
Well, hold on. I'm just curious. So, Kirsten, you weren't working for us when we were putting this issue together yet. I'm just curious. Do you remember we said the last eclipse was in 2017? Like, did you look up at the eclipse? Like, it might have been just partial wherever you were at.
It was, Nathan, was it in the fall of 2017?
It was like in August.
Okay, yeah.
I think it was like,
so
it would have been like right at the beginning of the school year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do remember it then because it was my first day of college.
Oh.
And I had a science class, and I got to class and the door was shut and there was a note on the door that said class was canceled for the eclipse.
Nice.
Oh.
And so I just went back to my dorm. I didn't end up watching it because I didn't have glasses or anything, and it didn't really get that dark there. But I do remember it because it canceled my classes on my first day of college.
Nice.
That's hilarious. You're like, what is college? What,
yeah, pretty much. It definitely set the tone for the rest of my college career.
That's funny. By the way, I love these photos of state parks. I love any time we do this because there's just so many amazing views of our state parks. Megan, great job putting this together. Like, really great job. Like, it just makes me want to keep exploring. I feel like, I just can't get enough of these views. I think my favorite thing in here is this Quartz Mountain photo.
That's a good one.
Isn't that gorgeous?
Yeah.
Quartz Mountain is beautiful.
The lighting is perfect.
Love that. And this opener from Tin Killer.
Mm-hmm.
I need to spend more time at Tin Killer. That's one of those lakes I just have not spent enough time at.
Yeah, same.
It's a pretty lake.
Yeah, it's really gorgeous there. So excellent work on that, Megan. Really good job. Oh, I love those.
Good job, photographers.
Good job, photographers, yes. And then, of course, we have Robert Reed writing about Medicine Park.
Love Medicine Park.
I do, too. I'm dying to go back and spend a little time.
Yeah. I have some great photography in this one, too.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shane Bevel.
I know. He always does such a good job. We just shot with him at Kane's the other day. And had so much fun hanging out with Shane.
It would be cool to have Shane or just like any of our regular photographers on the podcast.
We totally should get Shane on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I think we might have had him on the podcast a long time ago about something.
I think that's right, yeah.
But I don't
Well, we're
remember.
Due for another.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe even talking about photography. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know if you guys have been to Medicine Park lately. I hadn't really spent that much time there, and I did an overnight there last year. Remember? Mm-hmm. And I had... just loved it. And I like it wasn't even that much going on the day that I was there, but like one of the things that happened while I was there, I got up in the morning, I left my Airbnb or wherever I was staying for that story, and I went into town and I stopped at a coffee shop and I took my coffee and my pastry and I went over and sat on the hood of my car, and like kind of while I was getting situated, I spilled my coffee. I had set it on the hood of the car and it spilled. Mm-hmm. And so I like, went trudging, it was like a block over, I went trudging back over to the coffee shop and I was like, sorry, I need another coffee. And she's like, yeah, I saw what happened. And she just gave me a coffee. And I was like, I love this town. Yeah, I know, right?
They have the friendliest people, and you can tell that they put their heart and soul into that town.
Yeah. It's a special place. I know. And I know that Robert is such a like practiced travel writer. He was like, I know that when I gave him the story, he was a little bit like, really? But it seems like he really had a good time with it. That's one of the things I love about him is he finds a way to love every subject, whether it interests him, whether he was interested in it before or not. He always finds the passion in every story. And that's what I love about him. God, and then we finished with this, which just came as a pitch out of the blue, this thing about cycle racers at Hallett Motor, Hallett Motor Speedway.
Yeah. That turned out to be a really cool story.
Yeah.
I like the action photography we have here on the opening spread.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like, one of those...
It's crazy, like, the angles that they have to turn at. Mm-hmm. Totally fall off.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
When I first read the story and it said she like touched the grazed the ground, I was like, surely that is not correct. But yeah, they actually graze the ground whenever they go by. It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome. I love stories like this, you know, of like unexpected people doing the unexpected. I think it's so cool.
Have you ever been out to Hallett?
No, I haven't. I want to go. Brian's parents like 2 Christmases ago got him like. Mm-hmm. Like X number, like a thing you can buy, which is like X number of laps and X like level of car.
Right.
And he's never gone and cashed it in, and I'm just dying for him too, because I want him to be able to. That sounds like he would love that.
Right.
He's such a speed demon. And such a car guy, but also I'd like to go out there and just look around.
So yeah. Go ahead.
Mr. Stevens, let's go out to Hallett and cash in your gift certificate.
I would go to watch anything.
Yeah,
for sure.
I wouldn't participate
I do not like being in cars going fast. I really don't. Yeah. I really, really, really don't like it. So I would absolutely not get on the track.
I was like, I'm pre-reserve the hospital room.
But it's fun to watch. It's really, really fun to watch.
Yes.
And it is one of the, experienced riders, it's a very, very safe track.
Yes.
It's just us people who don't know what we're doing who would be scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't trust me just walking to my car. No.
Yeah, I don't have quick response times. Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you gave me like 3 weeks, I'd do great. But like... I don't have quick response times, but I got to talk about this cover for a second.
Oh, yeah,
Bigfoot,
for sure.
Dale Coons from Ponca City.
It really catches your eye.
Yeah, we love him. And if you like him, you should go to Ponca City and visit the Sackett Gallery. That's where he's represented. His works are there. And we just love Dale. And he's such a sweet guy. And came over for us to take his photograph for Contribs and brought us the painting. And this is one of my favorite covers we've done in a long time.
Yeah.
I really love it.
I totally agree.
Yeah. It just feels so much like what I want us to be.
Mm-hmm. I love that Bigfoot is having like a religious experience.
I know.
He's just in awe.
He's so moved with his Klingon forehead that he has.
I want to read the full comic of Bigfoot's eclipse experience.
Well, first of all, where did he get those glasses from?
Yeah. Not Oklahoma today, clearly.
Are they ISO 12312-2 standard?
Yeah, maybe that's the problem he's having.
Actually, no, they are because I put it in the caption that's what he was using. So that's what it is officially.
Yeah. It's canon.
Yeah, it's canon. But where did he get them from? He visited eclipse.oklahomatoday.com and ordered them.
Exactly.
He stole them off a hiker.
Right. Well, it's a fantastic issue.
Yeah, I'm really proud of it. You guys did a great job. Y'all always do such a great job.
Mm-hmm. And I guess now, do you all want to plumb the depths, travelok.com?
Plumb the depths podcasts? And soar the heights. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Let's see. Is there a volunteer who'd like to go first? Or perhaps I can go first.
Go for it.
Yes.
Sounds like you're the volunteer.
I'm the volunteer this time, which I shouldn't have volunteered until I actually pulled out my event.
Sucker.
So, have you ever been on a losing streak so bad that it feels like your whole life purpose is your whole purpose in life is to constantly fail at your main objective?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have, you might be able to relate to the Washington Generals, who have racked up more than 20,000 losses and just one win against their rival, the Harlem Globetrotters, in the past 53 years. It seems there's no beating the ball-spinning, trick-shot-making, confetti-drinking... if you've seen the Globetrotter show, you'll get the joke. I'm sorry. The confetti-drinking Globetrotters, whose endless wanderlust brings them and their favorite punching bag competitors to Oklahoma City's Paycom Center this Saturday. For decades, the Globetrotters dazzled audiences, sparking a love for the game in young viewers while also thrilling parents with dumbfounding tricks, flashy displays of skill, and jokes that miss even less often than their shots do, which is not often. If you go, there's a good chance you might even see Mia Castaneda, a.k.a. Ice, a Globetrotter from Oklahoma City, who we had a story about in our November-December issue. For tickets and more information, visit paycomcenter.com or visit harlemglobetrotters.com.
Wait, so do the Washington Generals seriously just exist to lose to the Harlem Globetrotters?
That's exactly right.
Wow.
That is so funny.
Called the Washington
Sacrificial Lambs. They have won on a few occasions.
I mean, you have to give them one every once in a while. Otherwise, why would they keep playing?
Yeah. Normally, it's like the Globetrotters will like lose track of the score and then like get too far behind to make it up. But they normally never get behind.
Uh-huh.
So it's very rare.
They're just so used to being ahead that they don't even know.
Like I said, once in over 50 years have they lost.
That's wild.
That's crazy. Huh.
There's always a chance. That's what it shows you.
Wow. I don't know if the Globetrotters are coming to Oklahoma City this year, but I know the Savannah Bananas are coming back.
Yeah.
So
the Bananas are basically
kind of the baseball version of the same thing.
Yeah, the baseball Globetrotters. Yeah. I've never seen the Savannah Bananas, but
I haven't either. But
I might head out this year.
I think we're going to go this year. Yeah, we should all go. That'd be fun.
I'm curious because there's a lot of things I know you can do with a basketball that are flashy. I'm not quite sure what the baseball
side of it is. I think there's a lot of juggling of bats.
That's what I need to see.
Oh, Kirsten's seen it. She's got it.
Listen, if y'all need to know who the Savannah Bananas are, hit me up because I am obsessed with their TikTok page. I love them and their opponents, the Party Animals.
Love this. We're so getting into this later. When they come, we'll do a whole episode. We'll try to get them on the show.
I'll absolutely show you them.
That's exciting.
So
what's one of the Savannah Banana tricks?
So theirs is a lot more like they do like what I see on TikTok anyway. They do a lot more of like they do like dances and stuff and do like crowd like a little bit of crowd participation here and there stuff like that. But they do a bunch of like dances, like certain bat trick swings and stuff like that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I want to go. I want to see. Sorry, we got off the Globetrotters, not the Savannah Bananas. But the Globetrotters are also awesome.
Yes.
And fun to watch.
For sure.
Yeah.
Nate, what is the what event do you have?
I have a good one. Let's pretend for a moment. Let's just take a moment and make believe that the history of your life was turned into a scavenger hunt for other people's enjoyment. Yeah. It shines a harsh light, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, where might someone find
that
the stuff?
That sounds like a nightmare to me.
Yeah. Where might you direct someone to find the stuffed animal that you, an adult human, still keep prominently displayed from childhood?
Yeah.
Mine are in the office in my home. And no shame. Where might we find the journal page detailing your most embarrassing moment? Burned in a fire is the answer.
Nice.
Facebook,
or the college essays you typed up with atrocious screaming grammar errors.
Oh,
do not go find those. You will not want to continue living. Luckily for all of us, no one is interested enough in our lives to do anything anywhere near that much work, which is nice. But if you do like putting together a historical search party, might I recommend spending spring break in northeastern Oklahoma, competing in the Cherokee History Scavenger Hunt. From March 19th to 23rd, travel to half a dozen sites from Sequoia's Cabin to the John Ross Museum, the Saline Court, the Eileen Courthouse Saline. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing that.
Saline Dion.
Saline, S-A-L-I-N-E, Courthouse Museum to the Cherokee Prison Museum, tracking down the answers to historic clues. The hunt concludes at the Cherokee National History Museum in Tahlequah, where anyone who turns in their completed scavenger hunt will receive a prize. Plus, you can take breaks between destinations at places like Salmonella's Chicken Palace and Sequoia State Park, so it kind of sounds like you're about to have the best spring break ever.
Mm-hmm.
For more information, point your web browser to visitcherokeenation.com and click on the Events and Exhibits tab.
Okay.
I know, it sounds like fun. There's like a sheet you can download and really fill out. Yeah, it really sounds like a lot of fun.
I do love a scavenger hunt.
I know, they're
not
fun.
About my life, though.
No.
But other someone else's life, I hope that. Carly, what is your event?
Did you guys know that some trees have been to the moon?
No, I did not know that.
Stuart Rusa, a former U.S. Forest Service smoke jumper, also known as the guys who jump out of planes into wildfires, brought about 2,000 seeds from 5 different types of trees with him on the 1971 Apollo 11 mission. Even though their bag burst open and the scattered seeds were exposed to the vacuum of space, they were later planted and grew into trees, though scientists have found no discernible differences between the space-faring seeds and their earthbound counterparts, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
You can learn lots more beyond belief tree tales at the Arbor Day Fair at the OSU Extension Conference Center in Oklahoma City. On March 30th, this free event will bring in local experts who will teach classes and lead tree planting demonstrations. Participants will get their own loblolly pine saplings, which just happens to be one of the species that Rusa took with him to space.
That's awesome.
The first 50 people will be registered to win a 5-gallon Schumard oak as well, which is priced between $60 and $180 online, so that's a pretty good prize.
That's awesome.
Check out okcbeautiful.com for more info and other Arbor Week happenings.
Free tree, free sapling.
Free sapling and potentially a free expensive tree.
Nice. Sounds like fun. I love the County Extension program so much.
Mm-hmm. I love Arbor Day because so rare that you have a chance to give back like that. You know?
And OKC Beautiful is doing a whole Arbor Week thing, so there's lots of opportunities to volunteer to clean up and help trees and stuff. So
I haven't even started my Arbor Day shopping.
Well, you have a little time.
Don't buy a card, a paper card. Yeah. That's one thing I
think. Unless it's recycled.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Megan, what is your event this week? Well,
it's all good. Right. We just had something jump off the table.
Well, even as spring break winds down, the waters of Grand Lake will see some extra action this weekend when the Bassmaster Classic comes to town March 22nd through the 24th. Billed as the Super Bowl of bass fishing, anglers will be hitting the lake in the early morning hours and bringing their catches to the BOK Center in Tulsa for daily weigh-in. While it may be hard for fans to track down their favorite fishermen on the lake, enthusiasts can also head to the Cox Business Center in Tulsa for the accompanying outdoor expo. There they can shop for all sorts of gear, boats, accessories, plus meet their favorite fishing superstars and sit in on a few educational seminars. For more information, visit bassmaster.com and click on tournaments.
That is always such a huge event in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. It's gigantic.
Yeah, my mom is a fisherwoman.
Really?
It's her dream to be in the Bassmaster Classic.
That's awesome. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, go on about it, Mrs. Lucian.
Mm-hmm. She's caught some big ones. We've got some trophy fish.
Nice. Where did she go? Did she have like a secret spot?
This is years ago, so it's sort of a living in the past kind of thing. she's done stuff on the Illinois River and things like that. So
that's awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Kirsten, we're excited to hear your event. What do you got for us?
What do you got? This is exciting.
Well, if you've not already found your heart's desire with these other events and you're looking for something to do in the upcoming weekends, you need to look no further than the Wichita Mountain Wildlife Refuge. For almost 100 years in the Holy City, actors have been performing the longest-running Easter pageant of its kind in the U.S. Outdoors in the mountain landscape resembling Jerusalem, this passion play is performed throughout the first buildings established in the refuge, which replicate important places in the Bible. Audience members will be captivated by these stunning scenes and acting depicting the dramatization of the life of Jesus Christ. So make sure to celebrate this Easter season on March 23rd and 30th in the Holy City. For more information, you can call 580-429-3361.
That is a long-standing tradition in the Wichitas, so much so that the second ever cover of Oklahoma Today magazine.
Wow.
In 1956, featured Jesus and the devil.
Wow. What
two
year?
Men, 1956, two men in costume as Jesus and the devil photographed at the holy city of Wichita. This is the second cover ever of Oklahoma Today.
My dad wasn't born in 1956.
When we did our Thunder story, we thought about asking if we could have two Thunder players dress up as Jesus and the devil and pose for our cover. That ask was just not even worth putting forth because it was not going
to
happen.
Really, on our next anniversary, though, I would love to do a recreation of some of our most famous covers.
Yes.
And, like, that one has to be in there.
You know when they recreate baby photos, but in the adult?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
As adults, that would be...
Yeah.
That'd be a funny way to take our cover. Uh-huh.
I think it'd also be fun to figure out the baby that was on, wasn't that our first cover ever?
The first
like, what's up with them?
I think they did that in the 50th anniversary issue, so I bet we could find who that is and track them down again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Mm-hmm. That'd be really fun.
Hopefully
if they're still around, I know.
Yeah. Anyway.
We've been around for a long time. It's been a magazine since 1956.
It really has.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is cool.
It is cool, uh-huh. Yeah. We're just caretakers. We don't own it.
Yes. Well,
who's the star of the show?
Yeah, the star of the show.
Is it?
Okay, it's not what you're, I think, where you're going to go. It's not the sun.
Dang!
It's the moon.
It's literally a star.
The moon, I feel like, does a lot of the work for the eclipse.
Well, yeah, no, the moon is doing all the work.
And it gets very little credit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It also helps with our tides.
It does.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
and gives us something to wish on.
Yeah. Yeah, and gives us a place to go when we need to.
And it has trees, apparently. That's what I've
heard.
No
trees.
No trees.
Yeah.
No trees, at least. Maybe on the dark side.
So the moon, I mean, just rarely gets shout-outs, so shout-out to the moon.
All right, cool. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Well, if you like the show and you still can't get enough, head to OklahomaToday.com or pick up our latest issue on newsstands right now.
One with Bigfoot on it.
Yeah, you can't miss it. Send your feedback to OKTPod@travelok.com. We'll talk to you again next week. The Oklahoma Today podcast is a production of Oklahoma Today magazine and the Oklahoma Tourism and Recreation Department. Your hosts are Oklahoma Today editors Nathan Gunner, Carly Ybarra, Megan Rossman, Kirsten Stone, and Ben Lucian. Theme song, editing, and production help by Oklahoma Today's production manager, Bridget Sloan. For more information, visit OklahomaToday.com.
Goodbye.
Eclipse.